Welcome to Cheers to This, the podcast where meaningful conversation is mixed with a good drink. I'm your host, Jay Hutchins, and today I'm joined by Eric, who understands what it takes to challenge life's path to seek true fulfillment. We welcome you to pour yourself a glass and join the conversation. Hi, Eric. How's it going?
It's going well, Jay. As I mentioned, today's podcast is sponsored by Jefferson's Ocean.
Love that you have Jefferson's Ocean in your glass. That's awesome. Well, you've got something nice in your glass. Do you have a cheers today?
I have a cheers. Cheers to my many friends and buddies who are still in the FBI, the best people that I've met in my life.
Cheers.
Cheers.
So, Eric, if I said to somebody that I wanted to tell them the story of a pastor turned crime fighter, they'd probably think I was recounting some Hollywood movie, but that's your actual real life.
Looking back, I think, wow, that really happened. That I spent 12 years in Christian ministry, and then I was plucked from the pulpit of a Baptist church and stuck into the FBI for 24 years, kind of like a mad scientist social experiment, see what would happen. And what would happen was I had some amazing things I got to do, was able to join the SWAT team. There's my SWAT sweatshirt, and was part of some incredible investigations, a couple of which were honored with the Attorney General's Award. So I was in awe when I joined the FBI. I went, wow, this is awesome. And I never really lost that there's times I would stop and go, this is pretty cool. And now looking back, it was pretty cool.
That sense of awe that you have about the experience, I know that had to be amazing to, you know, land there. But when you initially made that transition, you know, were you expecting that to run into that feeling? And, you know, kind of why did you actually initially make the transition?
Well, I made the transition because my wife and I, along with some core Christians, had planted a church, and it was meant to reach out to people who don't normally go to church. And the difficulty I found as we were reaching out to people and they were bringing their personal problems with them, I was unable to unburden myself from those. And so for 2 years straight, every single day, every day, I had a stress-related headache. Saw all the doctors. You know, last doctor said, maybe don't be so stressed. And I'm like, that's awesome advice. And so I needed to find a job that had less stress. So I joined the FBI. And the day I was accepted into the FBI, my headache stopped. And that was my cue that, yeah, that was the right choice.
I love that sentence that you had to find a job with less stress, so you joined the FBI. That doesn't seem likely, but I love that.
But it was. Like, if bad guys got away, that's fine. It's different. It's different from, you know, a family that you love in the church saying, oh, you know, my husband is going to leave me. And like, that I care about. And I don't know how other pastors dealt with it, but I couldn't. But, you know, I can work a big investigation, say, here's 12 guys we should indict. And the prosecutor says, oh, we're only going to do 9. And I'm pissed. But, well, you know, I move on, and it didn't eat me up.
Wow. So, you know, a lot of people would automatically view those career paths as completely disconnected. But was there a time when your life in the ministry gave you a unique vantage point, or maybe influenced how you approached the case as an FBI agent?
All the time. Some of it was the practices I learned in ministry, but much of it was just who I was, and that's why I got into ministry. But coming to people and treating them kindly, with grace, patience, without judgment, that's the church that I was trying to build, and we were successful in doing that. And carrying that over to working with criminals, it's remarkable how treating someone with kindness and openness, curiosity, got them to now open up and start telling me things that they shouldn't be telling me. But, you know, here we are. And it also worked well working with victims. We were trying to reach out to teenage prostitutes who are being manipulated. Mm-hmm. And it helped in recruiting informants, showing them that I cared for them. I'm not just using them to get what I need and then it didn't matter. So many of those same principles carried over. And much of what you do in the FBI ultimately is going to have to be working with people. If you do a shitty job of working with people, you're not going to be a very good agent.
Yeah. So that kindness was your gateway, I guess, to really connecting with people and being able to make a difference while in the FBI. Now, I'm just thinking back just a little bit about the transition still, because it's haunting me a little bit because I'm wrapping my head still around it. But that kind of transition has to at least be a little bit intimidating, right? So how did you face any fears or doubts that you had when making that kind of transition?
Well, so I'd never handled a gun. And then years later, I was on the SWAT team. But so there's a saying, I forget, probably Oscar Wilde, but I still had awe for the FBI, but that awe gets broken down a little bit when they say, well, we'd like to accept you. So like the idea of how magnificent it is breaks down a little bit when you see, oh, these are some pretty talented people, very professional, mm-hmm. very intelligent. But I can hold my own with them. So now it just becomes, now I'm very fortunate to be with all of these people with that same goal, and we're learning together. It was till the day I retired, I was a senior guy, but I'm still asking younger people like, hey, how do you do this? What are some techniques you have? So it was always a period of learning and growing and just understanding how to do your job best.
That learning and growing piece, that seems like, for some people in ministry, they don't continue to learn and grow, and others do. So was that part of you when you were in ministry to continue to learn and grow, and you carried that over? Or was that something you developed in the FBI?
Well, you have to do it in the FBI or else you're going to stagnate. I have one colleague who, he worked drug cases. He's probably working for 25 years. And at that point, it's just a machine. You put this in, boom, pop, out comes a conviction. But if you're not, when I'm working counterterrorism and there's, here's a religion I don't know about, I need to study up. Here's techniques we need to get into people. But at the same time, when I was in ministry, I was young. So I was definitely growing and learning because, I thought I had a good sense of what I wanted to do. But there's so much that I was growing in even then. And recently, I look back, we found some of my sermons that I gave way back when. And I thought, well, let me watch this. And I thought I was going to cringe going, oh, my gosh. It's so bad. But I was pretty good. I was good. I was very engaging. Ooh. Very engaging.
I actually believe you on that because you're engaging me right now. I got to tell you.
I started each service with a top 10 list that pertained to the message. And so we had fun with that. We would have enjoyable things to try to bring something across to people who maybe couldn't handle the stuffy Bible-ness about it. And so, okay, here's the word of God, but in a way that maybe can reach you better.
Look, Eric, I'm not going to challenge you right now for a top 10 list. However, I'm going to challenge you for a top 3 list. What are 3 lessons that you learned by being an FBI agent?
I'll be vague on the first one, which is I learned a lot about society because once you start mingling with criminals and you're getting involved, I could do it because I had a gun and I had people with me. You start seeing inside of how people live and what they do. You listen to wiretaps and now you're eavesdropping on folks all the time and you see inside the criminal world where, you could go to Taco Bell, get an order, and you have no idea that that guy is, selling kilo quantities of cocaine. And but I got to know that. What else I learned was I never regretted showing curiosity when I came to an investigation or a criminal, being open, because even if the guy was lying to me, I'm curious, why are you lying? Tell me more of your story and your lies, because now I've got insight into perhaps how you're going to defend yourself in court, what, there might be other things that you're bringing out that I can use. So always being curious and open, not believing that I had all the answers. And that was a principle in ministry as well, because, if you come to me and you've got issues and I just say, this is what the Bible says, and I'm not listening, you're probably not coming around again. And
no, definitely not.
Right. I mean, that the openness, it's something everyone should have. And I did learn the practicality of that.
Yeah. So those are 3 lessons that you learned. And it was an over 20-year career. So yeah. I think it's safe to say it was fulfilling for you. Is that safe to say?
It's safe to say. You have to retire at a certain age. And I was creeping up on that. So it, ended up being time to go. So I would love to stay. I'm still as good a shot as anybody. I can pass the fit test still. But
nice.
Yeah. it was time to go.
Well, were you certain that you would be fulfilled when you made that initial life transition to pursue that career? Or were you just hoping for that?
Well, I assumed it because like the FBI is super cool. Why wouldn't you want to do that? And, you know, getting rid of the headaches and moving into that field, there was some uncertainty because there's so much to the FBI. 24 years, there's hundreds of aspects I don't even understand about the FBI still. But learning, it became more comfortable for me. It started to feel more natural for who I was. As a pastor, I had to put on the face of being someone who's perfect. And that just gets to be hard when you have to pick your words and make sure nobody catches you at the liquor store, you know, that, you know, silly things like that. Like, oh, you have to be perfect. But here, you know, in the FBI, you just got to be your best and that's fine.
Being your best is a challenge for some people. You know that, right?
Right. And if I fall short, that's my best. The best is the effort I gave.
For it.
Yeah.
That makes sense to me. Yeah. Makes total sense. Now, I am curious, what was a moment after you were on your new path to help you crystallize and realize, you know what? I actually made the right choice.
Well, early on in the academy, I could see I'm holding my own. Not with firearms. That took a while. I'm skipping rounds off the concrete. but you know, we're taking our legal classes and I go, okay, I'm a smart guy. You know, these tests aren't that hard. We got it figured out. I'm next to military and police officers, so they have an understanding of investigations. But you know, now I'm getting a sense of, oh, yeah, this is how you do it. So it crystallized pretty clearly. Then getting into the field, now it's for real. And my first squad was a drug squad in Chicago. And I'm just learning from the senior guys. Fortunately for me, you know, I got to learn slowly because we're on wiretap after wiretap. So I get to learn without having to necessarily make that big case. I'm supporting by listening on wiretaps, doing surveillance. So yeah, it eased in pretty smoothly.
You know, some people are going to actually listen to this, Eric, and think, you know what? I had never really considered the FBI, but maybe I should.
Absolutely. It's the best job you could have.
Well, other people are going to listen. They're going to be like, this maybe doesn't relate to me, but I think it might. What's one piece of advice you have for anyone at all considering a seemingly drastic different life path than the one they're currently on?
Well, I can't speak directly to them, obviously not knowing it, but I know for me, if I could go back in time, I would tell younger me, hey, let go, stop fighting it, you know, stop trying to push through the headaches. I was getting to do what I wanted, having a church the way I thought it should be, but my body was saying no. And so if I could go back in time, I'd also, like, younger me would go, damn, you held up really good. You look nice, man. And I go, thanks. But it should have been earlier that I didn't have to go through all that pain of saying, you know, let me keep pushing through. Maybe something will change.
Yeah. So a lot of people, I
would say for others, like if you make that shot, even if you make the wrong choice, humans are resilient.
Humans are definitely resilient. I was just going to point out that for a lot of people, they think that they have to go through that pain, go through that struggle for a long, long time. You know, why do you think people have to think that they have to go through that kind of struggle?
Because change is frightening, because you'd rather stay with the pain that you know, because the unknown is so much worse. And I mean, that's something that I played into many times doing interrogations, that I was here to explain to them what was ahead. Because when I came to your door and we break it in and we got rifles pointed at you, that's the worst day of your life. And so now I'm going to come and say, let me help you through this. I've done this 1,000 times, so I can tell you what the next steps are and I can help you through. And some of that's just being kind and showing humanity. And some of it is manipulative, because now I'm trying to get you to open up. And it might just be that I'm trying to get you to calm down because we're tired of you screaming.
Hey, use whatever tools are in the kit. Get exactly. The job done.
Right.
Now, when you think about, you know, the cases that you actually were on and that you handled, was there any specific case that stood out to you and you're like, this perfectly aligned with the skills that I have and the mission that I have?
Well, there's one that I thought did. We had a case in Toledo, Ohio. A buddy of mine had the case on a pastor who was pimping out his foster daughter. And he was pimping her out to other pastors. So I was asked to do the arrest and interrogation of one of the pastors, presumably because my buddy knew, hey, you guys are going to talk your talk. So I had the I had the come to Jesus message all ready for him. And I had Bible verses. You know, I had the facts of the case, but I was going to start out with breaking him down to, look, God wants you to confess your sins. You know, you need to get right with him. And I started making that pitch, and he said, hey, man, I'll talk to you, but I don't want those Bible verses. And it stunned me because I thought, oh, okay, you know, now I need to transition over to just, let's start laying out the facts of the case. But he had bifurcated his life so much that that was a man who was having sex with a teenage girl. Mm-hmm. And then here's the man of God who preaches on Sunday, and those two don't connect. And right now I was talking to the man.
You know, for a lot of people, they would be shaken that, you know, their plan didn't work out, but it sounds like you were able to shift and, you know, and figure out how to deal with that situation.
Yeah. Any agent that's got any worth does preparation beforehand. So, you know, if I know next Tuesday we're going to arrest you, I'm going through all the evidence and I'm memorizing as much as I can so we can just talk, where I can just say, hey, Jay, tell me about October of 2025. What were you doing? You know, so I don't have to go through notes all the time. And so, yeah, it's done me for a second, but then let's just get into, all right, now let's talk about this young woman. When did you first meet her?
So we talked about a moment where things aligned and, you know, you thought that, you know, your experiences would go, you know, perfectly with that. But I'm curious about some other times that you potentially faced. You know, you ultimately were fulfilled by this path you chose. But I'm imagining that there had to be a few moments of doubt throughout the years. Like, when that doubt comes or came, how did you handle that?
I just enjoyed my time. There were cases that I thought we had good chances on and that failed. And we just have to be honest, like either the person isn't guilty, they're guilty, but they're not guilty in a court of law, or we're just not going to be able to make this happen. So those didn't faze me. I didn't get disillusioned by that. You know, I had one case that I don't want to discuss too much because the person, you know, we dropped the case, but we sent an informant at this person and they pretty much said, yeah, I'm willing to carry out this crime, but you're going to need to go through it this way. And so at that point, like, we can't take any more swings. You know, I've worked on cases where guys like took so many swings at criminals, they finally got the evidence to say, here's the guilt. And the prosecutors would say, we're not touching that because you've got this history of trying to catch them six different ways. Now it looks like the FBI is targeting them. We're not touching that. So by and large, the things that the FBI gets into are above board and it's done the right way. So I felt good as long as all those checks are being met of judges signing off and saying, this is kosher with me.
Awesome. So you did spend 24 years as a special agent. What is the biggest lesson you learned about both other people and yourself?
Well, what I learned from myself is, along the way, I like to challenge myself. So, you know, it was a challenge just becoming an agent. And I thought, okay, now I'm doing well. I know how to do this. And then later I started taking on other roles and I thought, okay, this is good too. A defensive tactics coordinator. And then our primary firearms instructor says, Eric, you should try out to be a firearms instructor. I'm like, I shoot okay, but I'm not that good. And so then I challenged myself and I spent a couple of months of very dedicated shooting so that I could learn and grow and got to be much better. And then, you know, so I challenged myself. I became a SWAT operator at 42, you know, so, you know, that was a little down the way, but, you know, then I'm in my 50s. There's guys on the team where I'd say, hey, man, what's your mom's name? Because I think I got lucky with her at prom because you could legitimately, you could be my kid. You know, guy, I've been married 33 years. Here's a guy who's 30 years old on the team next to me. And I'm like, but, you know, trying to keep up. Yeah. And what I learned from people is, I'll say this. there's different grades of criminals.
Mm-hmm.
So in Chicago, we arrested this drug dealer who he dealt with a lot of cocaine. Mm. And then we sat down to do the interviews with him. And I'm talking to my buddy. I'm like, is it me or is this? He's a nice guy. He's like, yeah, I wouldn't mind living next to him. He's fine. So there's people who break the law. And so they're going to mm-hmm. pay the price. And they're just decent humans. And then there are criminals who are just horrible human beings. And so, I mean, breaking the law does say something about your nature. But like how you treat people otherwise, like the things that you would judge people on, that's really how a person is.
Those are some really big lessons there. So you learned the lessons. You made the transition. You did a lot in 24 years. So I guess I have to ask, when you look back on everything for you personally, what would you say was the recipe for fulfillment?
The recipe for fulfillment, I've only had a couple sips, but it's still hard to speak. for me was being willing to take those steps that might have been a little scary. So it was moving away from ministry, even though this was the church I wanted it to be. It was taking those challenges, doing some things that were maybe a little dangerous along the way, but paid off, and taking risks, calculated risks. But that taking those steps and challenging not just myself, but taking risks in cases as well within the law, those are the things I think paid off quite a bit along the way.
Now, Eric, I do have one more question for you, if I may. Where the heck can people find you?
Oh, man. I'm in my basement right now, but but they can find me on Instagram at _Eric_Robinson, which I was amazed wasn't taken yet, or on LinkedIn with my name and FBI. I don't know how you search LinkedIn, but you'll see this face on there. And then I've written a book about what would happen if you took a pastor and put him in the FBI, that transition and what it was like to do the work. We've got really crazy stories in there about some amazing things that happened. A couple cases I worked that were honored with the Attorney General's Award, and just the experiences of interacting with some of the best people I've ever met.
That's awesome. So, Eric, I would like to offer maybe a double cheers here.
Okay.
Let's cheers to, one, the best people you ever worked with, and also to people willing to take risks to find fulfillment.
Absolutely.
Eric, thank you so much for your time today and for the insights and just for everything you've done for all of us, apparently. So just thank you so much for everything. And I really appreciate you being here today.
Absolutely, Jay. I appreciate you talking.
And thank you so much for, you know, you being here, Eric. And thank you to everyone that's tuned in and listened. And this has been Cheers to This.